The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
My name is Jennifer Powell. I am a columnist with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. Today, I will be talking about metabolic changes relating to MS onset and progression. A $957,000 grant will support research at the University of Buffalo into events that precede the onset of neurodegeneration in multiple sclerosis. Specifically, the funding by the U.S. Army Medical Research and Development Command will be used to investigate possible changes in cell metabolism that lead to disease onset or progression in patients. The project has the potential to impact MS clinical science and patient care. Murali Ramanathan, the project leader and a professor at the University's School of Pharmacy and Pharmaceutical Sciences, said in a press release. Metabolism describes the chemical reactions that occur in cells. Metabolic pathways can provide energy for the cell, produce molecules that the cells need, and break down large molecules into smaller building blocks. Metabolic reactions are necessary for the proper functioning of a cell. The immune system and nervous system have high metabolic demand. Both are highly active and require considerable energy to work as they should. Things that disrupt metabolic pathways can cause permanent and irreversible damage to cells and nervous system tissue. The researchers plan to study metabolic changes in people with relapsing remitting MS and progressive MS over 5 years, as well as changes in the levels of serum neurofilament light chain, a protein released into the blood when nerve cells are damaged. Alterations in the brain's gray matter volume, the accumulation of brain MRI lesions, and other measures of disease progression and neurodegeneration will also be assessed. Ramanathan, working with colleagues, has previously shown that higher SNFL levels are associated with an increase in gray matter atrophy in the brains of MS patients. These researchers also found evidence suggesting that high SNFL levels during MS onset are associated with a significant loss of the blood-brain barrier integrity and greater immune cell movement outside the circulatory system. The BBB protects the brain and limits the entry of immune system cells. A loss of BBB integrity allows for immune cells to enter areas of the brain where they can cause damage. They also reported links between apolipoproteins, high SNFL levels, and gray matter injury in people with MS, and between cholesterol and MS fatigue. According to the team, all of these findings, together with discoveries that might come from the new project, could be important in understanding metabolism as it relates to MS. Our findings can be leveraged for developing diet, lifestyle, and drug interventions for preventing progression and improving outcomes for MS patients, Ramanathan said.
Coming up next, perspectives from MS News Today columnist Jesse Ace.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hey everyone, my name is Jesse Ace, and I'm one of the columnists for MS News Today. I'll be reading one of my articles from my Disabled to Enabled series.
Do you speak candidly with your partner about your diagnosis?
I hate needles. Being told that I'd need to do injections was the worst news I'd ever received, second only to my diagnosis of multiple sclerosis. Sitting in the neurologist's office with my husband Paul was terrifying. I was 22 and newly diagnosed with relapsing remitting MS. They told me the first treatment would be injected. Naturally, I freaked out. Living in England, our healthcare is free, which is great, but it also means that sometimes we don't get much say in their treatment choices. At the time, I had just finished university and was about to commit to my business full-time, until the unthinkable happened and I lost the use of both hands. This ultimately cancelled my plans of being a famous illustrator. How could I illustrate when I couldn't hold a pencil? It was a really difficult time, and I became super depressed, but Paul, my then boyfriend, was there for me from day one. While at the hospital, I told Paul to leave me and find someone who wouldn't be a burden on him. I was sick, and I felt like I had to give him the get out clause. He told me to stop being so silly and go and get in the car so that we could go home. And my heart filled with gratitude, and my eyes with tears. I could not believe how lucky I was to have this person want to stay by my side, despite all the hardship that we knew that we were going to face. At that time, I'd been with Paul for 6 years. We met at our sixth form college, which is the two final years of secondary school. We were 16 and 17, and we have been inseparable best friends ever since. Cute, right? I can't imagine how hard it would be to date and have MS nowadays. I'd always be thinking, when should I tell them about my illness? Should I even tell them? What if I stutter my words too much and they think I'm weird? What if I can't walk on the day of our date and I have to cancel again? Paul and I never imagined being told that we'd have to handle a long-term degenerative illness. But who does expect that? I've been thinking about our relationship journey a lot lately, and as this week was his birthday, I asked if he would like to give an interview on my podcast, the Disabled to Enabled podcast. I wanted to see what his thoughts were after our whole world had come crashing down, and what advice he could give to other people with partners going through a diagnosis. I was intrigued with what he'd say about my diagnosis story from his point of view, and it was an exciting interview, so make sure to listen. There's one thing that you need to know about Paul. His personality type could be considered quite cold and ruthless. His main way of helping me through issues was to continually remind me that we can't worry about the things that we have no control over. And we deal with everything exactly as it happens. Which when you're in that moment is entirely frustrating and annoying because all you want to do is just moan and whine about it. If you just received a diagnosis or have a long-term illness, then I believe that you have every right to spend time feeling down about it. His advice did help in the end though, particularly with the obsession of new symptoms and having to do these injections. I will be forever grateful to Paul for helping me through these injections and everything else. After countless panic attacks and so many tears, he really stepped in and gave me each injection, except a few times when he had to be elsewhere. My symptoms are invisible, which makes managing them hard at times. And I've realised that Paul is not a mind reader, and I shouldn't expect him to always know how I'm feeling. We came up with a system to help communicate what we were thinking in a sort of subtle way, especially when things felt a little bit too much and we wanted to avoid an argument. We decided on code words to give each other a clue when we were feeling annoyed. Wet socks. Because what is more annoying than putting on socks and then realising that they're still wet? It was a brilliant system. Using it allows us to avoid arguments, and it's a great way for me to say to Paul that I need help or that something is wrong. It makes a huge difference and I highly recommend it.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.